This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
We're back.
Hello, we're back.
The boys are back.
You always start the podcast with that?
Often.
Because, like, you're expecting that everyone has been kind of, like...
Where are they?
Sitting in a state of just, like, complete inaction. Like, have you seen I Am Legend?
No.
You've never seen I Am Legend?
No, Will Smith is in the
world. Oh, I feel like
you
would like it.
I'm scared that the dog's going to die.
I honestly can't remember if he does. There's these monsters, these mutants, vampire mutants.
Yeah.
And they only come out at night after sundown.
Yeah.
And so Will Smith wanders around New York during the day. And occasionally he'll come across like a den of these things.
Okay.
And during the day they like sleep and hibernate, which means that they look human, you know, humanish. Okay.
Yeah.
They all huddle into like a dark basement somewhere and just like sit there and like kind of undulate a little bit.
Okay.
And that's what I imagine our listeners do every week, waiting for a new episode.
Waiting for us to say, we're back.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Then they activate and they go and hunt Will Smith.
And then in this metaphor, hunting Will Smith is listening to our show on their way to work or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to work these days, but.
Yeah.
No, speaking of I Am Legend, I'm feeling like Legend here in New York.
That's perfect.
Huh, right?
Great. I love it. I love it. Hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
And you say the second
too?
Club.
And you say it too?
Club. I am Jack Alexander Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And every week we talk about a new video novel in the great video cycle. By Anna Martin
cycle.
And Rachel Schuchert and Lucia Agnello and who else? So many names now. So many names. We're getting to know them all.
We heard a story today that Anne was involved in sort of like a deep state way.
Anne Matthews Martin, the princess of the Prince of Towns.
Lucy Quitada. Executive producer.
It's the Babysitter's Club extended universe.
Naya Susikov.
Yep.
Executive producer. The eternal.
The infinite.
The infinite, as I call him.
Oh, you that's what you
and I'm
come
hoping
up
like
with?
I'm hoping we can talk to someone later today, this episode.
To confirm that, that's accurate.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good thought.
Michael DeLuca.
Yes. So there are a lot of people involved. It's the Great Sitter Cycle. Now on your big screens, there's a video component to it. So if you've just been reading it, you're doing it wrong. There's visuals on this one.
It's 2020.
Yeah.
Who fucking reads anymore?
Yeah. They got real girls for this one.
What is this, the Victorian era?
Yeah. It's not. It's 2020 and they did a video. And we're talking about the video this week. We're going to be talking about episode 5. Of the video series, Dawn and the Impossible 3. And before we get any further, I should tell you that we're going to have some guests at the end of the episode, some very special guests.
Ah, yes. Two very special guests. Sochi Gomez and Malia Baker, a.k.a. Dawn Schaefer
and Marianne
Spear, are going to be joining us on the show.
Yes. What are you going to ask them?
Oh, I'm going to ask about the infinite thing.
That's smart. Yeah, that's good.
I'm probably going to say that the divine spark in me recognizes the divine spark in them.
That would be a good thing to say.
Which is something Dawn says.
Dawn says
Christy.
It. Yeah, you and I both watched this episode before our interview with the girls, but I think neither of us took any notes. We just kind of like took it in in case it came up. And then
just
I've done a close rewatch. Prior to talking with you, so I can have all my wits about me.
Yeah. And you captured divine spark in me, recognized the divine spark in you.
I did. But at first I didn't.
Of course. That was the answer. Allow the divine spark in myself
to recognize the divine spark within Christy Thomas.
But this
maybe
time
we open rather than like we're back, which we're feels back. Like such a non intro.
Yeah.
Maybe we start the show with hello,
the divine spark in
the
me.
Divine spark in us recognizes the divine spark in all of you, baby nation.
Oh. So it's not me recognizing my divine spark recognizing your divine spark. It's our collective divine spark recognizing the divine spark of the baby nation.
Our divine sparks have been integrated for many years now, and they're well acquainted.
It's
and
one.
Recognize one another.
It's slightly shinier than
it's not really
one person's divine spark
but
would be.
They're so close that it's hard to like tell. Like they're so close and so bright that it's hard to tell the two apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we are casting our light out on everyone else's divine sparks.
And we see you.
And we see you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can't hide from us.
You can't hide.
Try to hide in the shadows, but we can't because we'll shine a light on you and we do see you.
There are no shadows.
Stop hiding. Stop crawling around in the darkness. We see you no matter what you do.
Jack.
Yeah.
Later this episode, we will be having two young women on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sochi and Malia.
Mm-hmm.
I want, if you can help yourself.
Okay.
And I know you and I need you to cool it this episode.
Okay.
This is going to be a family-friendly episode. We're having two young women on the show. We need to keep it very PG.
Yeah.
Because they're probably going to want to listen.
Right.
Their parents are probably going to want to listen.
Keep it PG-13.
Keep it PG-13. Yes, yes, yes. Because they're both...
Yep.
So we can say fuck
older.
Once. Ah, fuck. Oh, no!
Come on. I'll bleep the second one.
Shit. Okay.
You can't say... Okay.
Can you bleep both? Because I don't want that to be our wasted...
I think that's it.
Oh, dang.
Okay, we can have one. I'll bleep them both. We can have one more.
Okay, great.
Can I
say... I just think we should avoid any kind of drug or alcohol or violence or sexual themes.
Okay, great. That should be easy to do. We're talking about Babysitter's Club TV show.
Yeah. Jack, 35-second mark, I want to talk about something.
Okay, do you want to talk about it before you describe the novel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dawn, the show opens, and Dawn is unpacking still.
Right.
And there she's doing a little monologuing.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I going to... Okay, there's bound to be rough waters. We're sure to take some falls, but with the Gord Lord as a captain, we're going to make it through them all.
Okay.
On the shelf, they pan up, and on the shelf in the living room...
Yeah, they open with this.
Sharon has left...
An egg beater.
An egg beater on the shelf.
Oh my God, I'm just realizing that plays into something so profound. I'm just going to write down egg beater.
Okay.
To come back to.
And, I know what you're thinking. It is profound.
Yeah.
I think what we're dealing with here is...
Okay, I know what you're saying.
I want to find the most delicate way of saying
it. Let me try to say
play,
it.
Or maybe like...
Let me try to say it. When two people love each other very much.
When their divine sparks are so intertwined.
When their divine sparks are so intertwined that they want to take it to the next stage. There are many ways that they could approach that. One of the ways
Jack
is,
and I started a podcast.
Yeah, we started a podcast.
We're very close.
Yeah.
We're best friends. Let's start a podcast.
Our divine sparks are intertwined. We started a podcast. That's one of the ways.
Yeah.
Another one of the ways. Oh, now I'm seeing why. Okay. Sometimes when you have a refrigerator, I can say that, right? Everyone has one. Everybody.
Everyone has
you know
one.
What? Everybody has a refrigerator. Mommy has a refrigerator. Daddy has a refrigerator. Everybody's got a refrigerator, right?
I mean, not everybody, but most people.
Most people do have them.
Most people in America.
Most people in America have a refrigerator. And sometimes when two people love each other very much and they have a refrigerator, and I think we're getting somewhere now, and they don't have the equipment to start a podcast.
Right. Or the interest.
But they want to, or the interest, but they want to express that love. Sometimes
there's refrigerator play.
There's refrigerator play.
It's literally the first thing they show in this episode is refrigerator play.
Yeah, they put she had the egg beater and she put it on the shelf
out on the living room. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Very interesting. Thank you for bringing that up, Tanner. And it's our duty as chroniclers of this.
Oh,
series.
Sorry. Can I mention one other thing?
Okay. Yeah.
1 minute, 15 second mark. Sharon comes in from a date with Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And she is
all a flutter.
She's all a flutter. She's in love. And mm-hmm. she's speaking with Don. And Don grabs the egg beater to bring it into the living room or into the kitchen with her. And Sharon says, "Oh no, let me." And she grabs the egg beater from Don and puts it back on the bookshelf and
yeah.
emits this like
very satisfied sigh.
Very satisfied sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, smells delicious. Let me.
The sound someone might make when they're not doing a podcast, but they are very close with someone.
Yes.
And their sparks are intertwined. And right. that is the sound she made.
Yes.
So if this isn't refrigerator play, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is. Very interesting stuff.
Very interesting stuff. We should probably describe the video novel.
Yeah, I think I do it actually. Yeah. Why don't you put 60 seconds on a big bad clock? I'll say what happens.
I don't have a big bad clock.
Find one and time me right this time.
Okay.
Can you do that for me?
I'm gonna do.
Tell me when it's. I've got 10 seconds left. I've got a craving to do this the old-fashioned way. I want to do it clean. I want to do it right. I want to do it in 60 actual seconds.
In 5, yeah. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, Dawn is new in town, but she's friends with Marianne, and Marianne brings her to a babysitter's club meeting, and Christy's like, "You're not allowed." The bylaws say you're not allowed to bring a new person to the meeting without consulting the group, and Marianne is like, "Okay, whatever." Anyway, Dawn is provisionally accepted into the babysitter's club, and her first job is with the Barretts because no one wants to take a job with Natalie Barrett because she's a real pain to babysit for. Meanwhile, Dawn's mom and Mr. Spear are courting, and meanwhile, Marianne, per her agreement with Fear the Spear last week, is rearranging her room to be more grown up. This all comes to a head when Dawn's mom oversteps her bounds and rearranges the room too much and has a big fight with Mr. Spear, even though it seemed like things were going well. Meanwhile, Dawn goes to looks after the Impossible Three, and Mrs. Barrett oversteps her bounds, and they have to have a confrontation about it, but it ends up being okay.
Beep, 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 beep. That's what the Google timer does.
Okay. Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. Yep. You got a lot of it in. Not all yeah. of it, I would
not
say.
The Impossible Three plot quite as much. The
B minus.
The big thing that happens that is quite powerful is that Christy and Dawn work out their disagreement with each other because
okay.
it turns out
I'm downgrading you to C plus because you're just doing more plot now.
Can I just say this to you as a friend?
Yeah, but you're getting a C plus on your recap.
I don't want that. If I stop now, do I knock at the C plus?
No, we have to tell our listeners what happened.
Fine. Christy and Dawn work out their stuff because it turns out that Christy was particularly upset, not just that Dawn was boning in on her friendship with Marianne, but that Dawn has a really good relationship with her dad, which Christy doesn't. And they kind of sorted that out together, and it seems like Dawn is now a full-fledged member of the Babysitter's Club. She's going to be the alternate officer, Tanner.
The alternate officer because she's kind of alternate in a 90s way.
Kind of alternative.
Alternative in a yeah. 90s way is what Christy yeah. says, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll need a title. Alternate officer? It means you'll do it all. Because you can. You are kind of alternative. In a 90s sense.
That's cool that people still know about that. It made me
the
90s? Feel good. Well, yeah. Just that being alternative, because that was a real thing, and it's not anymore.
You don't think being alternative is a thing anymore?
No, people don't listen to like Hoobastank.
Well, people still listen to Hoobastank. Spotify
so.
Recently played Ken Attest.
Wait, did your Spotify Discover play the reason for you? Because that's the ultimate burn of the week on you. The Spotify Discover was like, I know what Tanner's going to like.
It's all it ever plays. Because it's all I ever listen to. They're like, you just want more Hoobastank, don't you? And it's like, yes, please.
Yes, please.
The
reason is you.
moment, the reason is you. The moment you're describing, actually, Jack, at the end of the episode. Yep. So Christy and Dawn. So Dawn recognizes the divine spark in Christy and plays into her hand a little bit and says, yep, "You're the best babysitter I know. Can you come over and like give me tips?"
Right.
So Christy goes over to Dawn's house. So does Elizabeth Brewer, or Elizabeth
Thomas.
Someone in the group was giving me shit the other day. They're like, the boys have gotten so far, and they've got all these big high profile guests, and it kills me that Tanner still can't remember that her name is not Elizabeth Watson. So Elizabeth Watson goes over to Dawn's house.
Just say Batgirl.
And Batgirl, yes. And Christy gives Dawn a tip, which is whenever a kid is having like a freak out,
mm-hmm,
you do this very loud whistle and it disrupts their panic,
right,
and their freak out, and it gives them a moment to collect themselves and explain, think about and explain what is causing their anxiety.
Right.
And at the end of this episode,
mm-hmm,
it's revealed that Mr. Barrett,
mm-hmm,
Hampton Barrett, I think his name was.
Oh, right. We left out a vital plot point, which is that Buddy Barrett goes missing, and that causes consternation to the point where they call the police, and it turns out that Mrs. Barrett forgot to say that Mr. Barrett was his day to pick up Buddy to go to swim lessons.
Yes. So he comes back, and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry my wife, like, didn't tell you. I feel so bad."
Yeah.
Ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And Christy freaks out and runs in the other room and starts smashing chips.
Right.
And then something happened, which was my...
Tearful
moment.
I'd like to, with your permission, unless this is going to go against what you want to do here, institute a rule that I think we informally came up with last time we talked about what made us cry in the video novel, which is that we won't use clips. We'll try to reconstruct the relevant narrative here ourselves so that it feels more authentic.
Okay. Well, I don't even have a clip, so it's fine.
Well, can I describe that moment then?
Yeah.
That leads up to it?
Yeah. Describe it, Daddy.
Christy starts smashing the chips, and it's sad. She's sad because she's crying.
She's smashing chips. Very mad.
And she says something like, and then Dawn does a whistle, a scream.
She does a scream. She uses Christy's own tricks
against her. Which is what Christy taught her. And then Christy turns around. She's got tears in her eyes. And Dawn says, "I'm sorry to scream, but you taught me that when someone's acting out, it's there's probably some underlying cause." And then Christy says, "I'm smashing the chips because of my dad."
Yeah.
Right?
I'm smashing these dang chips because of my dad.
I'm punching these Doritos because my dad is gone.
She's like, "Buddy has a dad, you have a dad.
Yeah.
I have is these chips."
And I'm smashing them because of dad.
Now they're all smashed.
Because of Patrick.
Yeah.
And it's very, I was weeping.
It's very touching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they talk it through, and they realize that they're friends. Christy says, "My mom has Watson, my brothers have one another, and Marianne has you."
And Dawn says, all I have is these dang chips.
And all I have is these dang crunched up chips now.
Yeah.
And Dawn says, "No, you have more than just the dang crunched up chips. You have Marianne too. She's still friends with you." And
right. Well, so half of Marianne. Half of Marianne, because half of her is friends with Dawn now.
And half of Dawn. So that's one whole friend.
That's Christy, you have, not only do you have some crunchy chips, you have one whole friend. That's half of me and half of Marianne, so stop complaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was my tearful moment. I really liked it. It made me cry.
It was really sweet. I had another tearful moment, if I may. They do like a 1-2 punch. They have that scene, and then they have a scene that explains why Mr. Spear, Fear the Spear, the guy from The Good Place, was so upset And Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Let's not erase Brooklyn Nine-Nine here. I think that I'm doing it a disservice by just saying the guy from The Good Place. He's also from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And
we all have to like come to terms. I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine has to come to terms with what it means in the modern climate. And we all have to come to terms with how we feel about Brooklyn Nine-Nine in the modern climate. But
perfect. But he reveals why he was so upset that Sharon and the girls were rearranging the room, including taking down the Humpty Dumpty photo. And again, I'm not going to use a clip, but he says something like, he's sitting there looking at an old photo of Alma right at the end of the episode. And he says something like, my dead pregnant wife hung up that egg.
Yeah.
And because she's like putting the egg on the wall for when I'm honestly tearing up thinking about it now. It's like she's pregnant with Marianne.
Portrait of Humpty Dumpty.
Putting the portrait up, which is what they took down. And he says, my dead pregnant wife put that egg on the wall.
Yeah.
And then you realize
Marianne in her belly.
Yeah. I'm getting chills because it is right after the Christie scene. And then that happens.
Yeah.
And you realize, because you're mad, I think as a viewer, you're mad at Richard for breaking up.
He did something kind of like bad, because the girls were all having fun with Sharon in Marianne's room, redecorating, taking down the bad old wallpaper and the ugly Humpty Dumpty portrait. And Richard comes in and he says, all of you have to leave right now.
Right. Get out of here. And he says it to Sharon, which is rude. You should go.
Yes. Yeah. And it's all because of his dang pregnant wife.
Yeah. My dang pregnant wife would be better because she wasn't. Yeah. But it's a picture. There's a picture of her hanging up that photo, hanging up that portrait.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. And you understand.
Is it a photo? Jesus, is it a photo?
You think that's a rare photo of Humpty Dumpty?
Is that true?
It could be.
Wow. It's probably very valuable.
Well, that's another reason to be upset.
Jackie.
Yes.
I was looking something up and thought I could
talk
vamp
and look
enough
up the thing at the same time. And after 4 years, you still think that, but it's never been true, has it?
Here's a question I have for you, Jack.
Okay.
What is textiles if it's not yarn? And maybe this is a segment that we used to do on the show and
yeah.
we can bring back for the TV series mm-hmm. which is called
Oh my god, why she come out here with this crane on like she at a dark cave?
Jack and Tanner, fashion idiots.
Why you ain't got no shoes on? Girl, no. All them sweaters.
What is textile? Because so they're talking about decorating Marianne's room, and everyone has ideas.
Yeah.
And someone says, I think Stacy says, oh, we can like decorate your room with textiles, one of your favorite things.
Right. And
then Christy says, what, like yarn?
And
they all kind of give her this look like, what
you're
are
so
you
stupid.
About?
No, I'm. So this may be even Jack and Tanner and Christy fashion idiots. And then the phone rings and Stacy is like, thank God. Like what Christy said was like so bad. That's yarn. It would be my first guess.
What is textiles outside of like yarn and like string and like maybe cloth even? But I'm not even sure cloth qualifies.
I would think yarn is a great example. What do you mean decorate this room with a textile theme?
Like you're going to hang yarn everywhere? I don't get that.
Yeah, what does that mean, Stacy? Literally, what are you talking about? Textiles.
Yeah.
And textiles.
Christy says, what, like yarn? And they're all like, shut up, Christy. It's like, I'm confused too.
Yeah, I'm confused and I'm frankly upset. No, I know what textiles are. It's yarn.
It's like yarn. Yeah,
it's like yarn. It's a very reasonable question.
What are you googling if not that?
Oh, here's what I'm looking up. If this is something, and this may actually bear on what you're talking about. Here's the quote that introduces this textiles, this baffling textiles narrative at 3:23. Stacy says,
"Okay, I'll pull up my Pinterest. I still have some boards saved from when I moved. Sorted by color story."
Now, the only color story I know, and I think you know as well, is obviously the color mages in the Lightbringer series by Brent Weeks.
Oh, yes. So right? These mages all have access to a certain kind of color, which informs their kind of magic that they use.
Yeah, and if they can see that color.
Things.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most famous color story.
Like, I think the reds are, like,
it's
strong.
Like, yeah.
You know, and, like, yeah. Oh, interesting.
So that's what she's talking about, right? And
color
that's
story.
So maybe what the textiles are is just if you put up textiles of different colors.
It gives you that kind of, it gives you access to that kind of magic.
That kind of magic.
And then there's a character who kind of gets locked into a box.
Right, like, that doesn't have any of the colors that he can access in order to, maybe that's what they're doing to Marianne.
Right. And of course, I think the main character can use all kinds of colors.
Yes, exactly. Not to give too much away about the Lightbringer series, which it sounds like this Netflix show is going to weave into the episode. So,
oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll get to it this season?
Well, they already have, right? I mean, it's Stacy is already signaling that she's going to decorate this room according to a color story. She's got a Pinterest board already sorted by color stories, so she's looking. She's researching. I mean, I think there are five of them, the Lightbringer books. Maybe seven. They're long.
They're long.
I think I've read
five
of them.
They stop getting good about 5-6 into the way
the
first one.
Yeah, they were great. And then it was like, okay.
Yeah.
It may just have hit a rough patch. I'm sure he stuck the landing. But that's interesting. Okay, well, and that's great, too, because, Anne has her palette that she draws from, the Hellraiser stuff, the Dark Tower stuff, but this is a new show, and they're obviously going to need stuff that's more modern, and I love that they're bringing in Brent Weeks, and color magic has always been something that's important to this series, usually in the form of flowers, I think, with Karen.
Yeah, color magic.
But I love that they're updating it by bringing up the Lightbringer stuff.
I have another question. I don't quite know if this is part of the same segment. It might be. I really just don't know what this is.
Right. Okay.
At one point, they're all in the grocery store together. Dawn and Marianne find one another, and then Richie and Sharon kind of have a flirtatious back and forth.
Okay. Yeah.
And Sharon says they're out of amaranth.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about it.
Richard says,
"No amaranth. What do they expect us to do, starve? Like, hello? Attention shoppers, stop looking for amaranth. It doesn't exist."
Yeah.
And my question is, I thought amaranth was a kind of rock.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you've brought this up.
Is it not a kind of rock?
No. Here's what amaranth is.
I think there's a character in Steven Universe called Amaranth.
There's a lot in amaranth, and I think that amaranth conversation is key to understanding the broader themes of this entire video novel series.
Okay.
Allow me to begin, if I may.
Please.
Amaranth in Greek means unfading or immortal.
Okay.
That's what it means. That's interesting, isn't it? Given Tanner Amber theory
about these girls.
These girls, after, and we've talked about this in previous episodes about the video novels, after some kind of original sin that got them kicked out of some proverbial Garden of Eden, they are now cast out into the wilderness. This much we've covered, and also immortal, right?
Yes.
That's Amber theory. Let me bring Milton to bear now, if I may bring in Milton. May I bring in Milton?
Milk me.
That's not a reference people are going to get unless they specifically remember it last time we talked about Milton.
Milton was blind, and he made his daughter, he transcribed all his books to his daughters, and when they came in the morning, he would say, "Milk me."
It's so vivid that you remember that. Here's what Milton says about amaranth, Tanner. Immortal amaranth, a flower which once in paradise, fast by the tree of life, began to bloom. But soon for man's offense to heaven removed, where first it grew in flowers aloft, shading the fount of life, and where the river of bliss through midst of heaven rolls, o'er Elysian flowers her amber stream.
Okay.
That's a lot to take on board.
I got the general gist of that, which is that amaranth was a big flower in the Garden of Eden that
amaranth
caused
is,
the stream to be shady.
Yes, that's part of it. So amaranth is the word means unfading in Greek. It's and the flowers are thought to sort of maintain their color. Like this is color again, right? All the way in, like eternally.
Okay.
But when man sinned. When Eve and Adam fell,
mm-hmm.
amaranth also was removed from the garden.
Okay.
And so we have this amber stream, right?
Yep.
And we don't know what the hand of God and the other nefarious entities behind this show are trying to say, but it
is
clear.
There's a new ghostwriter this week, and I think she's asking that we call her the Unfading, maybe. What's amaranth?
Oh, the unfading. That's great. Yeah, immortal amaranth, unfading. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And what was her name?
Riri Cheney.
Riri Cheney wrote this one.
Wrote this one. And that's
the unfading.
And let's take a moment and induct her into the Ghostwriter Pantheon.
Welcome, Riri.
Welcome, Riri Cheney, to the Ghostwriter Pantheon. You shall ever, forever now be called
the unfading.
Amaranth. The unfading or just the unfading?
Immortal amaranth, the unfading, shading the fount of life where the river
Immortal amaranth, the unfading.
Through. Yeah, okay,
is what
that's
you're
good.
Called. Yeah. We were thinking about, just in case you're listening, we were thinking about calling you Humpty Dumpty, which
it
isn't
just doesn't
as
seem
good.
Great. Yeah. So. But it's all part of the same thing, Tanner. Allow me.
Okay.
You'll remember that they remove the Humpty Dumpty from the wall, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we know what Humpty Dumpty represents. We've talked about it before.
Eggs.
Well, yes, literally, and probably metaphorically to some extent. But what, I'll ask you the question that I asked you before again. What yes. do Humpty Dumpty and Eve have in common, Tanner?
Oh. They fell.
They both fell.
They both fell. Yeah.
Yeah. They both
so,
fell.
So this is wheels within wheels here. We've got
wheels within wheels.
These metaphors that are competing and building upon one another. We've got the Great Fall. We've got the eternal amaranth that was cast out from paradise when Adam and Eve were cast out.
And we've got the amber stream.
We've got the amber stream, and I still don't quite know what you mean by that. Is it pee?
It does sound like pee, and I've got to say, having said it, that it does sound a bit like pee, but I don't think it is. I think what Milton was referring to is the Babysitter's Club. They're trapped in amber.
The amber stream. Oh, and you know what a stream is?
What?
A brook.
A brook. A stony brook. Wow. Wow.
Wow. And what we're saying is, and Sharon really drove it home with one headlight because she's saying here in Stony Brook,
yeah,
they don't have amaranth.
That's right.
And we may as and
we don't have it.
We may as well starve.
We may as well
we don't
starve.
Have it here. This is not paradise. We've all been driven out and we're all living our sad mortal lives now.
That is incredible.
Wow. Very deep, Rachel and Riri.
Before we take a break, I would like to end on a slightly more positive note, and then I will stop talking about amaranth. As you will know, the 16th century French poet Joachim du Bellay also talks about amaranth. He says, we bring these
it's
amaranths.
It's not a rock, right?
It's not a rock. It's an eternal flower.
Okay.
We bring these amaranths, these white lilies, a sign and sacrifice. May love, we pray, like amaranthine flowers, feel no decay. So I read that as being talking about the love that exists between Sharon and the guy from The Good Place.
Yes.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. So that's there's another version of what amaranth means that is positive. And it's just that they're going to get together. They're going to find a fridge. They're going to do what?
They might not even wait till they find a fridge. Did you catch at the 5 minute 35 second mark, the guy from The Good Place says they run into Sharon and Don at the store.
Mm.
And he says,
Sharon, you're here where I am at the store, the shopping store. We're shopping for food for dinner.
And he's just like so...
He's so flustered.
Flustered and like yeah. overwhelmed to be interacting with this woman that he has an undying amaranthian spark for.
Yeah.
In this place that's already so sexually charged. Oh, sorry. So...
Come on. Yeah. And that's your one. That's your one.
So...
That's so charged.
Intimately, romantically charged
right.
for him that I feel yes. like this is kind of like a... sensory overload a bit.
You know what it is? It's the good place for him.
This is the good place for him.
This is the good place.
Here he is.
Yeah.
With a woman he loves.
Yeah.
In an environment that gives him a feeling of
think how
love.
Many fridges are in that grocery store.
I know. It's surrounded by them. Yeah, it's good. That's yeah. all good.
It's powerful.
The writers of the show are just incredible.
They're amazing. They did. They've done that. They just weaved all that in into one episode. It's 20. These episodes are 20 minutes. It's wild.
We should probably take a break and then
we'll
come
take
back
a quick
talk
break
about the actual bulk of this episode, which is the Impossible Three,
the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tanner, I will just put, like, tie a little bow on this topic that we've been talking about.
You just came back from break. What are you talking about? We haven't talked about anything.
We did before break. We were talking about Amaranth, we were talking about Humpty Dumpty, the egg, and Eve's fall, and the fall of the egg, and how it all ties together. And I would just like to say, before we move on from this, is it not unbelievably resonant that this video novel begins with Dawn's mother shelving an egg beater?
In ecstasy.
Yeah, well, sure. But she's saying goodbye to it, right? She's saying Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Guess what? Let's double down on that. The symbolism of the egg beater is, I don't even know how to begin to unpack it. That's Humpty Dumpty's greatest fear, right? Surely.
It's his greatest fear, but it's not even his undoing.
No, it's not. But it represents what happened.
I guess.
Right? And then all the soldiers with magnificent weapons.
They couldn't put them back together again.
Something to think about. I don't want to dwell on it too much longer, but I needed that as a coda to this, just a discussion
maybe
of
it's
the...
Maybe it's a metaphor for her, for being barren.
Okay. That's well
said. All her eggs
too.
Are beaten.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she's about to get a new daughter, so...
Right. Okay. That's great.
It doesn't matter.
That's possible, too. Lots of different interpretations here.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about The Impossible Three, weren't we? We're going to talk about Mrs. Barrett. We're going to talk about the substance of this video novel.
Finally, we meet Ms. Barrett and the Barrett children. She's getting into acting, and she's taking a lot of yogurt commercials.
Right.
Jobs on yogurt commercials. And she's always... rehearsing lines with Dawn, and she leans on Dawn quite a bit, and she asks Dawn to do more than is acceptable in terms of babysitting and housework and stuff like that. And she's always getting cryogenic.
She's having her head cryogenically frozen.
To preserve it?
To preserve it. It's an interesting, they don't dwell on it, but at some point, it's at the 17 minute and 40 second mark, Natalie says,
"I'll be back after my cryogenic freeze facial."
So they're free. So
they're starting with the face.
They're going to freeze her face.
Okay, so it's like a face-off kind of thing, because I think that's what they do in face-off.
Is that what it is? I don't know. I love the sci-fi elements that they're introducing. We've got the Brent Weeks like color magic stuff, and then you have this like science fiction stuff that's like she's getting her like part of her head frozen. Like I guess.
That Anne likes to incorporate elements of the '90s film Return to Oz too.
Right, she loves
that. Talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Her kids are rotten.
Our kids are rotten. They're not much fun. They're not very nice. But
Buddy Barrett
Dawn whips
whaps
them into
Dawn's
shape.
Butt with a sword.
Yeah, it's rude. He attacks her for not recognizing that the floor is in fact lava.
Oh, actually, Jack, that brings me to a segment. Mm-hmm. It's called mine.
Not a lot of burns in this video book.
Not a lot of burns in this video book, but the first time Dawn enters the Barrett home, Buddy says the floor is lava, and then Dawn has like an exchange with Ms. Barrett as she's running out the door, and then as soon as Ms. Barrett leaves, Buddy says,
Dawn, you're in lava!
And that's my burn, because she would be burning up.
My only burn that I captured is at
four. Do you get it? Because she would be burning. It's lava.
Oh, okay.
She's burning up in the lava.
Right. And she's, the purgatorial flames. So Dawn video books have a religious element to them. And folks just need to know that. The Impossible Three, obviously, is a reference to the Holy Trinity. And then here we have a reference to Dante's Purgatorio, where Dawn is... What is it that Arnaud Daniel says in Purgatorio when he jumps back? Cose nel fuoco che li affina.
Totally.
And so I jumped back into the flames which refined me, right?
Yeah. I'll have what he's having. All right.
But so it's a burn of the week, and it's also a burn of eternally.
Yes, because she's burning up in the lava.
My burn of the week is at the 4 minute and 15 second mark where Christy is like, oh, Natalie Barrett's like this like divorcee who's like totally off the rails, and Dawn says,
"That's kind of reductive."
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to know what that means, but if someone said that to me, I would be fully put in my place.
You would probably be furious, which Christy was.
Yeah, I'd be Christy, furious. Like,
bars Dawn from joining the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
And they have a contentious relationship until Dawn admits that she's Christy's friend, Jack.
Yeah.
Walden.
Greedia.
Greedia knows what they did.
Yeah, they know what they did. They know what they did. We're looking at you, Walden, Greedia. You know what you did.
They were watching us for some time before they started the show.
Yeah, they've been watching us.
They knew we had a vested interest in these books.
Yep.
They knew that we wanted to be involved with the show, even if we didn't say it, because we would never ask that, obviously. That would be gauche.
Right.
We're offer only, I think is the term.
Okay.
We only work when an offer comes in.
Yeah. Is that because we're too timid or because we're too proud?
Too proud.
Yep. That's what I thought, and that's what I think, and that it's true.
And there are a lot of opportunities throughout all of these video novels where...
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have been that fucking character.
Yeah.
And this week, Jack, Dawn gets a call while she's hanging out with Christy.
Yeah.
From Disneyland Daddy. We talked about it very briefly with Rachel, but you do see on a FaceTime call.
He says, say hello to Gus.
Say hello to Gus. Yeah.
Hey, baby. Say hi to Gus.
She was about to say hi.
And they're making paella.
That could have been us, couldn't it?
Couldn't that have been us? One of them is already called Jack.
I can make paella. I can get on FaceTime. I can say hello to Gus.
And I could say, she was about to.
And that's all we would say if Dawn called us.
Yeah. And that's all we would need to say. And that's like scale because we have a speaking role. So that's like $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah. I could use the money.
I'll use it.
Say hello to me.
Say hello to me. I think we could have played these roles.
We could have played these roles, Walton Greedia. But you were too greedy, weren't you? You needed to get
these trained professional
actors. It's upsetting. Here's another worrying thing that the Walden Greedia folks put in this video novel. Or I don't know if it was the hand of God or who, but it's scary. Let me read you this passage. At 10:40, one of the girls, Stacy says to Dawn, who's been up all night looking after the Barrett kids.
Seriously, Dawn, you can't keep living like this, falling asleep in corners and during frog dissections.
Okay. Do you think it's...
Well, it's two things, isn't it?
Oh, wow. The immortal amaranth, the unfading, is clearly like, and the hand of God are clearly both doing like some deep dives into
the lore. Yeah.
And finding a lot of the same connections we've found.
Right. Exactly.
It sounds like.
Yes.
Because the corner stuff.
We've been telling you, if you don't know, to round off the corners in your bedroom by now, and if you don't know why, I almost can't help you.
I can help you. I can help you. It's the Hounds of Tyndalos.
It's the Hounds of Tyndalos. They come in the corners. And they get you.
And they get you, and you don't want to get got by them, so round off the corners in your home. We tell you every week.
Every fucking week. Sorry. Shit.
And look what happened to Dawn.
That's our...
Fuck. Can you bleep him?
I don't think so.
I really just am worried about...
Yeah.
The
we've done so well.
Young women we're having on the show later hearing it, you know?
Okay. Well, that's it. No more.
Then look what happens to Dawn.
Yeah.
She's a wreck.
She's a wreck.
These Hounds of Tyndalos are...
Yeah, she's trying to stay up. Because if you fall asleep, that's how when they get you.
That's when they get you. That's when they get you.
And then we've got these... It's the end of the wandering frog people in a way that's troubling.
Yeah. It's a whole world that Anne built via the Pikes, this world of the wandering frog people. It has a rich mythology. It's a rich culture.
Yeah.
And it sounds like now what they've decided to do on the show is kill and dissect them.
Right, which is deeply troubling, and something that we're going to have to explore. Another thing we'll have to explore that we don't necessarily have time for is at the 13-minute and 40-second mark, where Christy says to Dawn, David Michael wasn't really upset that the cheese was too yellow. He felt ignored, so he wielded bread as his weapon.
It's bread theory. It's all bread.
And it is all bread, and it's all the way up, and it's all the way down, just like Mrs. Barrett's legs. And we can say it.
Okay, well,
and we've said it. Now we've said it.
Now it's NC-17. And sorry, yeah, Sochi and Malia, but you can't listen to this one in 2017. Great, Jack. How reductive. I think I'm using that right.
Yeah, no, that's what it means.
Well, now it's like an adult show.
Yeah.
And it's like after dark, and we can talk about whatever we want. Can I talk about one last thing?
Okay, but be very careful, because it's still PG-13.
Sharon says at one point, as she's walking off screen to Batgirl,
mm-hmm.
Here's where I brew my own kombucha for adults only.
Okay, and it's drinking.
I don't know what it is, but it's for adults only. So waited until the show went blue and we were only talking about adult themes to bring it up.
Okay. Yeah. This is.
I wasn't going to bring it up before because we were trying to keep it PG-13, but now it's spicy.
Kombucha,
and we're talking about
kombucha
that's
and
for adults
only.
And I
hope that you're listening to this after dark. I do hope that you're listening to this after dark.
Yeah. I hope you're in the bedroom.
Boudoir. Let's say boudoir. Let's just say it.
Divine spark is shining alongside yours.
Yeah.
And thinking about kombucha for adults is like helping set the mood for you.
Tanner, I do think that we should leave and go.
Okay.
I will say, can I say before we go that this video novel is deeply unfair to Dawn?
Why?
Last week, Marianne did a good thing and called an ambulance for Bailey, who was having a bad fever. And the video novel was called Marianne Saves the Day. This week, Dawn does the right thing and calls the cops and ends up solving the case of the missing child. And it's not called Dawn Saves the Day?
Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Well, she didn't save it. She didn't save the
she
day.
She saved a damn day.
Hampton or Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Barrett.
Hamilton Barrett is an innocent bystander in all of this. This video novel should have been called Dawn Saves the Day.
But he was in no danger, and she didn't solve the mystery, but he just came home. So you're so wrong-headed about this.
Okay. Oh, you think so? Dawn did nothing. You think the video book should have been called Dawn
she
Did
gave
Nothing?
Up. She gave up. And she gave
Dawn
up.
Gave up. Dawn gives up. Okay, fine. I'll tell Sochi.
Yes.
And in fact, I guess we're going to do that now because we have an interview.
Yes.
And now, our interview with Sochi and Malia. Wow.
Whoa.
Hello.
Such a cool teen. Doing TikTok dances? How long were you doing TikTok dances for?
I was doing like so many TikTok dances before you guys finally let me in.
Oh, Tanner and I haven't even practiced our TikTok dances today. I'm so embarrassed.
30 minutes. Oh my God. I've been listening to so long. I've literally been listening to your voices like before I even went to Canada to film. And it's so weird because now I'm seeing you guys.
Here we are. This is what we look like.
It's always so weird to see someone. You've only heard their voice.
I know. It's like I'm fangirling. It's just like it's so... it's okay.
I also saw you liking photos of my baby on Instagram, so you got like a sneak preview of what I look like because I look just like my baby.
I've been following you for like a year now, and I because I finally just got a check on Instagram, I was like, why not just unlike everything and just like it so he'll just get a spam? And I was like,
that's a flex, a check on Instagram.
Yeah, that's cool. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Malia. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Hi.
Welcome both of you to the show. We're so starstruck. Here we have Dawn and Marianne.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're the most famous people we've ever spoken to.
Stop it, you guys. I'm just like, I can't process anything right now. I'm like,
have you guys been hitting the like interview circuit pretty hard over the last few weeks?
Yeah, the interviews, it's a whole new experience for me. And especially now with it being over Zoom, it's completely different than what I had expected. But I still think it's really fun to be able to experience this with these amazing girls. And it's really, it's been busy, but I really like it.
What can you guys tell us about? Are you guys starting like season two sometime soon?
We have no idea. Like, honestly, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. My whole body's crossed with this.
It was in the top 10. It was in the top 10 for a while. And I have to say, I'm pretty proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
That was very exciting. We haven't heard anything yet.
We've been pushing Rachel and Lucia pretty hard to cast us as extras.
I've heard.
Oh my God.
So maybe we'll see you in Canada soon. For season two.
Yeah.
I think I've got a line on playing Boo Boo the cat because he hasn't been cast yet. So
yes.
That would be too good.
He's gonna do like mocap.
That would be good.
Have you guys seen that image online of Kristen Stewart like petting Taylor Lautner on the head when they were starring in Twilight together?
I haven't. No.
Taylor Lautner like played a werewolf, so he was like doing mocap as a wolf, and there was a very awkward photo of like Kristen Stewart like patting him on the head, and I'm worried that's what you guys are gonna have to do with Jenna. <That's
boo-boo. laughs> There's actually a photo of me petting Sophie Grace's head. So there we go.
Tanner made me watch before we got on this interview. Tanner made me watch the episode that this is going to be on is. The Ghost at Dawn's House. So I'm still like pretty... Sorry, not The Ghost at Dawn's House. Dawn and the Impossible 3.
Yeah.
So I'm still teary-eyed from the ending of it. It's like a 1-2 punch of some pretty sad stuff with Christy and then with Dawn. So anyway, excuse me if I'm a little emotional.
Show your emotions, dude. We need those emotions. We need a rainfall.
True, we do.
We do cry quite a bit at both the books and the TV series.
We've gotten used to it. At first, we were embarrassed about it, but now we're just learning to embrace it.
Yeah.
I still cry when I watch all the episodes.
Yeah.
I just sit home alone in my cold room with my dog.
Oh, that got dark quick. that's a virtual hug is being sent to you. My gosh. You felt it?
Jack, we should probably introduce our guest, shouldn't we?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
This was all just preamble to the actual episode.
Okay.
We are joined this week by Sochi Gomez and Malia Baker, Dawn and Marianne.
Hi.
From the Babysitter's Club Netflix show. They're the most famous people we've ever talked to in our lives, so we're a little nervous, but we'll do our best.
That's nice, Tanner. We got a couple of questions we want to ask you, and then if with your permission, we'd like to play a little game to help you potentially prepare for some storylines that might be coming your way, season two, season three, season four.
Yep.
Nice.
But, yeah, we've read all these books. We're kind of experts, so if you have any questions about the characters or storylines, we're happy to help.
Yeah. You're doing a great job so far, but it never hurts to talk to an expert, somebody who really knows the characters.
I feel like I'm definitely gonna if we go back for season two, I'm gonna be contacting you. I'm gonna be like,
yeah, we need to know the storylines, how we're feeling in that moment. Yes,
like I need some like intentions. I need them.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So here's my first question, and then we'll go straight to the game for a little bit. I want to know, and maybe you've been asked this before. For each of you, which babysitter you are and not on the show in life.
Yes, we have been asked this. It's one of my favorite questions. Yeah. I am definitely a mix of Marianne and Dawn. I feel like the best thing about the Babysitter's Club is that you can at least relate to one of the girls and you can see yourself in one of them. So I think I'm definitely Marianne and Dawn with a hint of Christy because I can be very assertive.
Okay.
But Sochi, go for it.
But I probably say I'm a Dawn. I'm like, flat out Dawn, except when people like yell at me when they're like, Sochi, what are you doing? Then I turn into a Marianne. I go,
aw.
Yeah, but I'm like 100% Dawn, except I'm not like political and I don't have a huge vocabulary like she does. I had to like highlight everything. I was like,
I've been in my, since we started reading these books, I've been every babysitter, or I've thought I was, but yeah. I've settled on Mallory.
Oh, Mallory. Yeah.
Which is a deep, it's like kind of a cool answer. So if you want to, next time someone asks you this question, it's kind of a cool answer to give.
It's like saying I'm Abby.
Yeah. Or say like, say actually I'm Wendy Loser, who is like a babysitter for one book.
That's like deep into the books. My goodness. You guys really are experts on these things.
I think at this point we've read every single book except for the last few Friends Forever books, which is where we were when the Netflix show came out and we had to like pause everything and like, we'll get back to the Friends Forever eventually, but.
I know. I heard you guys like taking a whole pause on that.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. It was worth. It's worth it. The show is really good.
Yeah, the show is really great.
Okay, it sounds like you guys really know your stuff, so you may find this fairly easy. But here's what we want to do to help you kind of prepare for potential storylines. And I think the way that this would make sense to do is you can consult amongst yourselves if you're not sure of the answer. But we're going to say a plot of a Babysitter's Club book that has not been filmed yet.
Okay.
And you can tell us whether it's a real thing that happens in the Babysitter's Club or something we just made up.
Okay. Oh, wow. This is nerve-wracking. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. But consult before you give your final answer, consult amongst yourselves unless you feel really sure of it. Okay. I'm going to start.
So two, we're on a team.
Should I start, Tanner? You want to go next?
Yeah, I'll do the next one. You start.
And we're going to be reporting these results back to Rachel and Lucia.
Yeah, Lucia. So,
you know, it's going to be fine, but really do try to get these right.
I don't think they'll recast you guys, but I would do your best.
Okay, plot number one. Dawn is visiting California when she is visited by a mysterious spectral entity that appears to be the vengeful spirit of a murdered surfer.
That
happens.
In the Dawn series? In like the Dawn and the California series?
No, I think it's... Oh, I think it's Dawn...
I love that you're writing this down.
No!
I have to write it down to like think about it.
I also love that you knew about the California Diaries.
Yeah. No, we're up against some serious professionals here.
Yeah. I think it's Dawn and the Surfer Ghost, right?
Nice.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Oh, Ghost Soap. Yes.
You're writing everything down. I'm like...
All right, Tanner.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull up the doc. Sorry. We're very unprofessional.
Well, some of us are.
Here's the next one. You guys ready? After Marianne receives a threatening letter on Halloween... Her life begins to fall apart, culminating in a dramatic showdown at the town's graveyard.
So isn't it like Marianne and the Badlock Mystery?
You're asking me like I know.
I know, but you were like the expert on set. You had like the BSE dictionary, yeah, and you were like that did not happen, actually.
No, the BSE Bible. It's like,
it has pretty much. No, the Badlock Mystery is when like.
I don't think that happened.
I don't think that happened either. Did it?
It's Marianne and the Bad Luck Mystery. BSC number 17.
Right. I should have trusted my instincts.
17.
No, it's literally up there. Okay. It's okay.
That's going to be like next season or the one after if they do it.
Yeah. I remember reading that. I didn't know it was Halloween though. The first thing that came to mind was she gets the Bad Luck Mystery and like they meet in the woods and... It was like cut out magazine words.
Oh yeah, it's a
and
dark.
We like put it down. It got like spooky fast.
A lot of it like takes place in a graveyard too, which is very spooky.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Cokie Mason is the villain of the piece.
Mm. Oh, was it Cokie? I thought it was Alan and like the two boys.
Oh, it might be. It might be the boys. Do you guys? Yeah. Is there a Cokie cast on the show yet? Because I can throw my hat in the ring for that one.
Not yet, but I will root for you, okay? I will see you on set.
That would be amazing.
Can I be Cokie's... Tanner, what's Cokie's sidekick's name?
He has like two sidekicks.
Yeah, I could be one of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is good. Okay.
I don't think I would look out of place at all in the cafeteria scenes at Stony Brook middle school.
You'd be like the grown man.
Just a 6'4" man.
Yeah.
You can dress like a new boy.
It's acting. It's acting.
It's acting, fun. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Acting.
Oh my gosh. You guys could be like, if we do like the pageant, like Little Miss Stony Brook, you guys could be like the guys introducing, or you guys could be like
you guys could be the hosts. Oh,
we could have like sparkly like jackets on and like slick back hair and just be like, well, like beauty judges, pageant hosts. You know?
Like the judges, like judging. That would be
so good. That's true.
I want to be Sabrina Bouvier.
Ooh.
Okay, we're counting on you guys to relay all this back to Rachel and Lucia, please.
Okay. My turn, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Dawn falls in love with a deeply unpleasant bro named Travis, who wears denim from head to toe and drives a Camaro, which also happens to be the only thing he ever talks about.
Yeah.
That, yeah. You have it in the, you know this, Sochi. You had it in the dictionary.
I know.
You kept saying, like, these were the spouses of the Babysitter's Club.
You put together, yeah. Sochi, or is it something that you purchased?
No, it's like, I purchased it off eBay. Well, my mom did. But it's The Complete Guide to the Babysitter's Club.
By David Levithan.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
The Complete Guide. So yeah. It has like all the places they've ever visited. It has all the characters and they're like who their love interest is, what their favorite color is, what their like family is. And then they have each like section just for their family members too.
Yep.
And then they have family things. So like what happens in their family. It's like literally the
Coach, we should have studied before this. My goodness.
I didn't know you're
sounds
be
like you did, Sochi.
Well, dang it.
I'm like, watch Sochi have it like right under her screen. Like, oh yeah, I didn't think it at all.
Okay,
Tanner.
An answer. No, did you guys answer?
Yeah. Oh, wait, we haven't answered this one. Yeah.
We didn't know the title.
Okay, that's okay. You don't have to say the title. Is it
real? As long as you think okay. It's a real episode, you just have to say yes or no.
He gives her his ring.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
That does sound right.
Yeah.
And she goes like, oh my God.
He's the worst. You look at
it's a real book.
Look at the cover of the book that he's on. He's like all denim. His name is Travis.
Yeah, he's like a punker, isn't he? Like
a punker.
He's like one of these guys who like still hangs around the high school even though he's already graduated.
Yeah, he's like,
oh no,
one of those.
You say that, Jack, as a man in his 40s on a phone interview with two teenagers.
Oh my.
It's Dawn and the Older Boy is the name of the book, number 37.
That's what Older Boy. Ew. That's uncomfy.
Yeah, he's a okay. creep. Okay.
All right, Tanner.
Here goes. A poisonous spider from Venezuela takes residence in Marianne's house. In their efforts to get rid of it, the family accidentally burns the house down.
Oh, yes. The fire at Marianne's house. It's like one of the last books, right?
Is that your final answer?
Wait, no. Wait, Dawn.
Did you just call her Dawn?
Sometimes it's hard, okay? We're on set all the time, and my contacts for these girls are Sochi, Dawn. Their last names are just their character names in my phone.
Sochi's
yes.
name on Zoom right now, too.
I know.
Sochi Gomez, Dawn. Oh, I should have changed it. But Sochi, isn't it? They're like the Marianne's house burns down. It does.
Yeah.
And like the last book that Anna Martin writes,
it all ends in fire.
Yeah, uh-huh. The photo is like, or she's like this.
That was good.
That was a pitch perfect imitation of the photo of the fire at Marianne's
house. So you guys you're saying it's yes, the fire at Marianne's house?
Yes. I don't know if the spider card is true, though.
What I read to you was the plot of the 1990 film Arachnophobia, starring Jeff Daniels and John Goodman.
I knew the spider wasn't true. I was like, a spider from Venezuela?
Marianne's house does burn down. But it's
Marianne's
not because
house does burn down, but it's not from that.
Faulty electrical wiring.
Yeah.
Is what they
and
say.
And it's an old house.
Yeah.
Is what they say.
Yeah.
Richard.
Yeah.
Richard is out here burning houses down. A bit too overprotective.
It's Esme.
It's Esme. It's Aunt Esme. Of course it is.
We love what Morbid of Destiny became in the TV show. And we love how much she's featured in the TV show.
I know. Mm-hmm. She's such an amazing actress. So you got to work with her the most, but...
Oh. Yeah, well, she's just me. Yeah, I know. She was like, she's so cool. Well, she definitely has like those vibes where she could be like, she can play multiple characters. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she was so sweet. But then like the second it was like the cameras were on, she was like,
she became like, hey, this like witch. And I was like,
I know, it was kind of creepy.
And, like, it was creepy, but it was a good creepy.
It was fun. It was like a good, she's like a good witch, unlike the books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very
spiritual practitioner.
It's 2020. It's cool to be a witch now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's the trend.
Yeah,
it's a new trend.
Jacko,
okay, you guys ready for another one?
Yes.
Marianne prevents an evil zookeeper from releasing dangerous animals in a plot to destroy her colleagues.
No.
Is it? No.
I have a bad poker face, so I like can't react to you guys.
I know. I was like, I'm trying to see, read your guys' faces.
Isn't that a Jim Carrey movie or something?
It should be.
But I don't. Okay. I don't think that was one of. It probably is.
I guess you haven't read BSC Mystery Number 20, Marianne and the Zoo Mystery, in that case.
I have it on my bookshelf. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I hope you like working with animals, Malia, because that one is definitely coming up.
I do. I have a lot
of super specials, but I don't have mysteries.
The mysteries are wonderful. Mm. It took us a little while.
The mysteries are my favorite.
They're so much fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for Marianne to get her kitten, Tigger. Oh, I'm waiting to get a kitten on set. Ugh. My fingers are crossed.
They'll probably let you take it home afterward.
That'd be so cool. My dogs do not like that. Or my other cats. I'm a little crazy with pets, but it's okay. So that was one. I didn't guess that. Oh, well.
That's all right. Okay. It's a really deep cut. And I described the plot in a nefarious and diabolical way.
That's exactly how I would describe you, Jack. Nefarious and diabolical.
Tanner?
Should I go?
Yeah. We'll do a couple more.
Don's new teacher isn't what he seems. He's an undercover detective from L.A. sent to catch a criminal who may be at large in Stony Brook.
What kind of...
Sorry. I feel like that's something that Don would like do. I'm just
going to put that out there.
Don just attracts these mysteries everywhere she goes.
I think, isn't it like the one with like the missing child?
The one with the backup.
What's his name, Jack? Scott Sue?
Who falls down the well?
Isn't that a Christie story, though?
We can't reveal that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're doing. You're trying to pry clues out of us.
We're like, isn't that a...
I almost fell for it, too.
So I think it...
What do you think? Rock, paper, scissors. Who says no? Who says yes?
Okay. I'm thinking no. That's one of Christie's storylines. No, that's not one of Christie's storylines.
I'm just gonna let you do this for a second.
I don't think that happened.
Okay. The good news is you're right. Because what I described to you was the plot of the 1990 film Kindergarten Cop starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah. That's probably why I love that movie.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Born yet. Dang.
Did one of you say you weren't born yet?
That's rude.
So did you say that?
That's rude to say. You know that, right?
I mean, I was only six.
I loved watching that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are doing, I think you're doing great.
You're
so
doing
far.
Well. I've forgotten to keep score. But we have an audio record of this.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which we will be sending to Rachel and Lucia.
That's okay.
They're your bosses, right? They're just the only other people
we're just
we
kind
know.
Of assuming.
I have all. So Rachel is the hand. No. Yeah, the hand of
That's
God.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
God. And I have decided that Michael DeLuca, he's like the guy kind of who's always beside Rachel. I called him the Infinite.
Wow. The Infinite.
Do we have to get our hands on Michael DeLuca at some point in the next few weeks?
Yeah.
That's cool. Why do you call him that? He just has this like wisdom.
Yeah, such. Why do you call him that?
Because he is like,
is the infinite. If you think about it, he has all these. He just search him up and you'll figure
it
out.
I'm so into it. It's nice so to have someone else do the work for us for once. Yeah. We've been slaving away trying to come up with all these epithets.
Soch will come to set prepared. Super prepared. And with probably a mocha in her hand, but prepared.
I know, I've got my coffee.
That's awesome. There we go. Yep.
Okay, we'll do two more. Ready? Here's one from me. Marianne breaks up with Logan because he's too clingy.
Clingy. Yep, that is a storyline. It is Marianne. What's the title? It's not Marianne versus Logan, is it? It's Marianne breaks up with him. I wish the title was
something. You're so close. We're going to give it to you. It's a series of books.
It happens twice.
It happens twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I really read into that storyline because I was like, oh my gosh, they broke up. They got back together because, and Marianne's Mrs. Logan. So yes, that is a storyline.
Yeah.
That is a storyline.
Marianne versus Logan. And then they break up again in the, we just learned in the Friends Forever series, Marianne's big breakup. Mm. We haven't finished it, but I kind of think it's really over this time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Maybe. Hi, Marianne.
Yeah. She did the right thing. It wasn't working out.
She did? Yeah. She dropped up for herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She just broke it off.
Yeah. She's like, I'm done.
She yeeted. Mm-hmm.
All right, Tanner, last one.
Okay. This one's going to be a softball because I want you guys to go out on a win.
Okay.
That makes it, you're setting the expectations game. That makes it meaner because if they get it wrong, they're going to feel even worse.
Yeah. No.
I also kind of keep losing track that you guys are so much younger than us because I'm like, surely everyone knows the plot to this.
Okay, go for it.
Marianne is left alone in the house by accident when her family goes on vacation without her and must fend for herself against potential robbers.
I feel the beginning part is right, though.
Potential. For some reason, I can't see Marianne like becoming a ninja and like fending for herself against potential robbers. But I mean, if that happens, I'll be happy to do that. I've always wanted to be in a spy movie. So
my theory of Marianne is that whenever, like, she's so shy and retiring, but whenever like something really bad happens, that's when she like her superpower
she
comes
steps
out.
Up.
She steps up.
Yeah,
Marianne and the Great Romance, or it was like because there's two books, 30 and 31, Marianne and the Great Romance, and Dawn's Wicked Stepsister, which I really hope they do in season two. Because
I hope they do that one too.
They have like, you know, the whole plot of, you know, the parents getting married and all the drama between the girls.
It's a messy fight. Dawn's like playing the radio too loud.
Yeah. Jeez, so
can you imagine?
Turn down the radio.
You're gonna have to like modernize that. It's gonna be like you're playing Sirius XM too loud.
Yeah.
Turn down that TikTok.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. Stop doing the TikTok dances. Dawn. Jeez. I'm sick of it. But I think help me.
I think it was one of those two books. It was in that drama.
What I described to you was the plot of the 1990 film Home Alone, starring Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, of course. Of course. Well,
they're tricky. It's a tricky game. Yeah.
I mean, I know we obviously all know that movie. Hopefully. We hopefully all know that movie. But I don't know why it just didn't come to mind in that moment.
I think it was just because we were thinking about the books. And we're like,
I know. I was thinking about the books, and I was like, I can see Marianne.
I think that one is the most likely of the fake ones to actually be the plot of a Babysitter's Club book. Mm-hmm. It's pretty plausible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much can happen.
It's more plausible than the surfer ghost.
That's true. That was
a fun book, though. I hope we get to see the Surfer Ghost in action on the Netflix series someday. Mm-hmm.
I want to see the Surfer Ghost in action.
That would be like it would be like from Beverly Hills 90210. One of those guys.
Have you guys read the California Diaries?
Yes. I think so, Chaz. Yeah,
it's so different.
I've just read the summary of them, but
they're so wild.
It's like, honestly, it's like Dawn is living a double life because like they take place contemporaneously with the main books, but like the stuff that's happening in her life does not make sense with like the way she talks to the babysitters in the main series.
I know, in the Babysitter's Club, she's like, oh yeah, we're so cool, we're together, we're friends. And then in here, she's like, I hate you. You guys are my friends anymore. One of those.
I'm sorry, what just happened? I'm gonna need to read these books apparently, because
they're like aimed at slightly older readers, I think, so they're a little more like mature in their themes.
Well, yeah, it's like I think it's supposed to be like before.
It's after Dawn moves back to California.
Yeah, when she moves back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's like she's like a completely other person. Yeah.
She really changes.
Well, maybe it's got to do with her past.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Ooh, some messed up past that Dawn has and she was trying to escape.
I think it's just what California does to a person.
We never do find out who murdered the surfer ghost, you know? Could have been Dawn.
Crime of
that
passion.
Got dark. Wow. Okay. Dawn, what are you doing? No.
Well, great. I think you guys won.
You win. You win the game. Yeah, we didn't keep score.
Okay. Well, sure. Yeah.
Do you guys have any recommendations for what books we should read next? We have about five more. After we're done with the series, we've got five more Babysitter's Club books, and then we're going to have to do something else. Is there another series that we can
Animorphs.
Pivot? Animorphs would be awesome.
Oh, my God. You guys are
going to... When I was younger, I really liked the Land of Stories series.
The Land of Stories. I'm going to write it down.
Oliver. It was like this. Oh, it was a good series. Everyone in my school like loved them. I started a trend with that book because everyone wanted to read the same one. But I liked that series when I was younger. I stopped reading at like the last few books. I don't know why, but I did.
Well, so Chris Wolfer, the guy from Glee?
Yeah, he is. That was why I like searched him up. I was like, oh, he writes books too. But that that's the same guy.
Well, I know that they're rebooting Animorphs. So if you kind of want to do like the same thing you're doing.
Oh,
yes.
Wait for that. Yeah.
That's a good idea. Although, yeah, I think like if we can get on the front end of something and just like really use the publicity of a Netflix show to draft off of.
I don't know if it's going to be on Netflix. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe we can be in it. Now that we're going to be big stars after our star turn on season two of the Babysitter's Club.
You can be like one of those weird aliens.
I can see it happening.
All right, cool. Well, thank you both for coming on the show.
Of course. This is so much fun. Thank you for having us.
This is definitely on my bucket list. It was like one of the things I wanted to do because we have like, you know, we've been doing so many interviews. It's just like, if I could just be on Babysitter's Club.
You can come on anytime. You can be the third host if you want.
Yeah. That's fine. You need a third host.
Yeah. I'm with every day. Yes.
Don't mess with me like that. Emotions.
Well, this was so fun, guys. Thank you so much. We love the show. It's so good. You guys are so good in it. And you're doing it justice. We've been living with these books for 4 years now, and it was a high bar to clear, but you cleared it. It's awesome. We love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're back.
Wow. Sochi, Malia, you were both so great. I just have a couple more questions.
There's not here. They're gone. It's the next day.
Oh.
We're back. We're here. Who we are talking to is the Baby Nation.
Okay.
And what we were saying to them is...
Baby Nation, I guess I can ask you these questions.
No, we're just telling them stuff. What we're telling them is that we're grateful that they're...
Oh, I just do not understand this at all.
We're grateful... that they bore with us today, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that you bore with me today, Tanner.
I guess I have... Can I ask you the questions?
Sure.
What's the hardest part of recording during the school year, and how do you go to school?
Ask me next year after I have a starring part on the Babysitter's Club Netflix show season two. In the meantime, what I would like to say is... please do subscribe to our Patreon. Yes. It's at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have a whole other show about the Little Sister books. There's no visual element, but we do a good job of describing what happens.
Yes.
Please do join our Facebook group. It is growing. The Baby Nation.
What do you mean there's no visual element?
Susan Tang does drawings.
And the word novel. we read the word novels each week. They're visual.
Yeah, there are visual words and there are visual pictures in the book, and I made a mistake. But
we have a whole segment about the pictures.
Not a whole segment about the pictures. It's at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We also have a Facebook group that you must join. It is the Baby Nation Facebook group. You can find it by going to our Facebook page, Babysitters Club Club, and clicking on the group. That's where all the action happens. Lots of new people are joining. Join the fun. Please do rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. The ratings and reviews help us to move up in the rankings. So go ahead and leave us a nice rating and a nice review. I will probably read it eventually. Tanner will not.
I shan't be. Buy the merch, bit.ly/BSCC. Merch, all sorts of fun stuff up there. Shirts, stickers, pins.
Totes. And more. And what I would like to say finally is that this week we did read a video novel, and it was called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show number 5, Dawn and the Impossible 3. Next week we're going to be reading a video novel called Babysitter's Club Netflix Show number 6, Claudia and Mean Janine.
Oh, I actually am going to be excited about that one because the Janine character on this show is very...
Yeah, Janine is awesome, and I'm looking forward to the elephant jokes.
Yeah.
And finally, I would like to thank our guests very much for joining us this week, and
thank you for joining us,
being so much fun.
Is there anything you want to plug or?
No, they're not currently here. They're not here. But thank you guys. It was really fun to have you on the show. In the meantime, all that I have to say is that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name's Tanner Greenring.
And has been. Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom. See, we say it every fucking week.
Every week. Every
ding dang week.
Well, no, we can say
okay, it's
now.
After dark.
It's after dark.
Drown all your dolls. Call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the trip, man. Take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
Woman, human mm-hmm. woman with appendages that go...
Don't stop.
All the way up and all the way down.
Yeah.
Bottom appendages.
Yeah.
Nothing about arms.
The torso has dangling beneath it.
Yes.
Two appendages. And how far do they dangle? All the way to the ground.
All the way down.
And all the way back up again.
Yep.
And it's a human woman.
Yes.
That's a way to say it. That's PG-13.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.